You know you're getting close to Easter when CNN starts airing shows about Jesus. Last year it was the Jesus Code. How could the most famous man in history have left almost no trace behind? Bringing the most compelling artifacts together for the first time, the Jesus Code will take viewers on a thrilling, high-stakes journey through forensics, biblical archaeology, and forgery in history, exploring the evidence of Jesus' existence by questioning the authenticity of sacred relics. Produced by Newtopia Productions. This year it's Finding Jesus, Faith, Fact, Forgery, again produced by Newtopia. Loved and worshiped by billions, Jesus of Nazareth is unquestionably the most famous person of the last 2,000 years. His influence on culture, politics, education, and literature continues to this day. But he left no physical trace. Or did he? That's the question at the forefront of Finding Jesus, Faith, Fact, Forgery. This series will air over six one-hour episodes and culminate on Easter Sunday. Let's be clear, I'm not whining and complaining about such efforts. In a sense, they are commendable, at least in effort, if not in product. They are simply answering the question that our Lord himself poses in our text this morning. Who do people say the Son of Man is? That was the question before the time of Jesus. What will the Messiah be like? At the time of Jesus, are you the one? And today, was there even a Jesus? It's a general question, and honestly, it invites a whole range of answers. And, right on cue, our disciple friends come through with answers, and they're all over the place. Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Answer broadly, cover all the bases, good, safe, descriptive answers. And then Jesus makes the move. But who do you say that I am? Now this is more challenging. Now there is no room to hide. Generic answers won't do. This is direct and demands something more than a mere description of what others are saying. To put it another way, this question requires the disciples to confess something, and to do so personally. I imagine it was kind of like being in class when the professor makes the move from a generic question about something to a direct question of personal assessment. What happens at that moment? You hope somebody else jumps in. And that person will give you the clue as to whether they're on the right track, then you can agree with them, or the wrong track, and then you tell the professor what he wants to hear. But Jesus won't do that here. He asks them as a group, "Who do you say I am?" and leaves them hanging. Thank goodness for Peter. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter jumps right in like the irritating guy in class who answers every question. Sometimes right, sometimes wrong, but always the first to answer. And this time, at least at this point, he's spot on. And the Lord recognizes him for this. "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Peter doesn't make this robust confession of faith on his own. It was an epiphany revealed to him by the Father himself. And as Paul would later say to the Corinthians, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. For as we know, it is only by the work of the Spirit that any of us has made or can make a confession of saving faith. But this is not just about getting the right answer in this spot. There is more to all of it. For the church and its life will proceed from this confession, as the Lord himself shows. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So you see what a marvelous text this really is. You have Peter's beautiful confession of faith, you are the Christ. We have Jesus' affirmation that it is only by the work of God that a person can make such a confession, and we have Jesus' promise to build and to sustain his church through this confession. Good stuff. On the cusp of the Leipzig debate in 1519, Luther preached on this text. He divided his sermon into two parts. First, the grace of God and our free will, and second, on the power of St. Peter. In the first, Luther shows that he has come to understand the implications of the gospel, not just for the sake of debating Eck, but especially in respect to salvation by grace through faith because of Christ. He writes this: "The first part strikes at the great, the wise, and the holy, and would destroy them altogether, because they think they can accomplish everything through their own skill and works. But here the Lord teaches that everything that flesh and blood is or is capable of doing is futile, for no one can know, much less follow, Christ by flesh and blood. The Father in heaven must rather reveal him, as happened here to St. Peter. This is also indicated when he asks what the people are saying about him, and no sure and settled answer was given, but only various unsettled opinions and fancies of the people were recounted. This shows that without the grace of God, one wavers to and fro and has only an inconstant notion of God until the Father reveals it. Then a person knows what Christ is." Confession is God's gracious work in us, period. But then Luther continues and considers the last part of our text: "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And he says this: "It is true that the keys were given to St. Peter, but not to him personally, but rather to the person of the Christian church. They were actually given to me and to you for the comfort of our consciences. For one must know how one stands with God if the conscience is to be joyful and to be able to stand. For when a person doubts this and does not steadfastly believe that he has a gracious God, then he actually does not have a gracious God. And as he believes, so he has. Therefore, no one can know that he is in grace and that God is gracious toward him except through faith. If he believes it, he is saved. If he does not believe it, he is damned. For this confidence and good conscience is the real, basically good faith, which the grace of God works in us." The point of all this is rather simple. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so we can expect questions about him to continue, documentaries to continue to appear. But for us, the question is more personal. Who do each and every one of you say that I am? And this Lenten season, we seek to answer that question more fully. For God has revealed to us that Jesus is indeed the Christ, the very Son of the living God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,